Yeah. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, Father, and we just praise your name. Lord, I was just listening to the song on the way here, just, oh, happy day that you've saved me, Lord God, and I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life, Lord. You just took a wretch, Lord, and you just made me whole, Father. And I just pray for anyone struggling today, Lord God, that they can just bend their knee to you, Lord, that they can cast their burdens and cares onto you, Lord God. I just pray that as we enter in worship, Father, that there just be a freedom to actually worship you, Lord God, that all the distractions around us would just go away, Lord, that we can just give you our all, Lord God, in worship, that we can raise our hands and surrender to you, Lord, and that we can just bend our knee in prayer to you, Lord God, for others and just for ourselves, Lord. And so we just give you this morning. We just invite you here, Lord God. We just pray for freedom for us just to worship you with abandoned hearts, Lord God. That we wouldn't be distracted by anything else, Lord. We just give you this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. as I was driving here today, I was just thinking, you know, we're family, you know, even more so than some of our own family. And how nice it is, you know, when I come here today and I'm like, oh, I'm tired, I've been doing this and that. How everyone has encouragement, you know, oh, don't worry, or just paint one part of your house at a time, or you're a mom, you're, you know, doing all this stuff, don't worry about it. It's so nice to go somewhere and just get encouragement and love. And I pray that, Lord, help me to give that encouragement and that love just as much as I receive it, Father. I don't come here just for that, Lord. I come so I can encourage others too, Lord. And just feel that closeness and that oneness, Lord God. Some of us don't have any family, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the relationships that I have here, Father. And I pray, Lord, that for those that I don't know well yet, Lord, I can get to know better, Lord. Help me climb out of my box a little bit, Lord. Help us all to get to know each other so much so we can encourage one another. Not just topically, but really just deeply, Lord.
Overcome by your presence.
guidance, Lord. I pray for fear to get out of the way for any of us, Lord God. If our fear is in the way of you speaking to us right now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you get rid of that fear. I pray that if any of us are planners and we think we have everything set that we want to happen with the future, Lord God, I pray that you get that out of the way too, Lord. We just want your will. We want your Holy Spirit to lead us, Father. Because when we're doing it, we get in the way and we mess up. Father, lead me, Lord God. Lead this congregation, Lord. Your family, Father. Your children, Lord. My sisters and brothers, Lord God. Lead us. Lead us into freedom and your will, Father.
These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulations. But take courage. I have overcome the world.
Thank you. Just to know that you're the overcomer.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long.
So as we're standing up here and I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, I just keep thinking, if anyone needs prayer, you know, it's like we have these other songs we want to do, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's just leading that. If you're having a hard time right now, or if you need the Lord to speak to you, if there's anyone here right now that just really, really needs that, I pray that you just come up here and we just have a time just praying right now during this worship time. Maybe it's just for the Lord to give you direction. Maybe it's just for the Lord to heal you. Maybe it's for someone in your family. Father, I just want to lift up my family to you right now as we're laying these things down, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that the family members that I have, Father, that are just not near to you as I want them to be, Lord, or not even following you at all, in the world, I get so frustrated and I get so angry, Lord. But your patience that you had with me and how much you loved me, Lord, that's what brought me to you, Father. Help me to be an instrument of peace and of love, Lord God. And I pray that for everyone here, Lord. That we're not an instrument of judgment and anger, but we can be of peace and love. And I know I can't do it, Lord. I tend to go the bad route, Lord. So I pray, Father, that you just do work in me. I pray for anyone here right now, Lord God, that is having a hard time at work, Lord. Maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's their body, Lord. Maybe it's hard on them, Lord. Maybe it's just financial decisions, Lord. I just pray, Father, right now that you lead them, Lord God. Any kind of understanding we have, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you get that out of the way. And we want that supernatural understanding. We want your Holy Spirit to tell us what to do in these situations, Lord. If there's anyone we know that's ill, Lord God, I know that there are people in the body right now, Lord God, that are ill, Lord. Whether it be something horrible, Lord God, Lord, or whether it be just pain that they have to deal with all the time, Lord. I pray, Father, that you just give them your strength, Lord. I pray for healing, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if this is something that's in their life that draws them even closer to you, Lord God, that you use that, Lord. I pray for hearts to not be longing for anything else but you, Lord, but your love, Lord. I pray for anyone here, Lord God, that is searching for love in all of the wrong places, Father. I pray for marriages to be stronger, Lord. I pray that in our marriages, Lord God, we put you first so that we can have a better relationship, Lord. That's the only way to do it. Not even putting your spouse first all the time, but putting the Lord first will help you love them better. I pray for the leadership in this church, Lord God. I pray for Darren and Lisa, Lord. Speak to them, Father. Give them guidance, Lord, with every step they have. Give them strength, Lord. With everything that Lisa's doing, Lord God, I just pray that you just give her strength. I pray that you give Darren just amazing wisdom, Lord. I pray that you give his children understanding, Lord. I pray protection over all of the children in this body, Lord God. Whether they're in public school or homeschool or private school or anything, Lord, they all need protection, Father. Over their minds, Lord, over the conversations, Lord. I pray that you raise up a generation that is so much stronger than we are, Lord.
In us, through us, as us, that is our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It is not something to be achieved, but something to be received. May each of us open our hearts and receive gift, that fruit, so that you may display it through us, as us, and attract others and bless others the way that you want to through your body, which is the church. We thank you for that.
Your love, O Lord.
so much for being faithful to us. And for those of us here, Lord God, that have still yet to trust, to step out in faith on that water with both of you, Lord, I just speak to you now that the Lord's faithfulness is so good. The Lord doesn't say it's going to be easy, and it's not all going to work out perfectly the way we want it planned. But to be in His will, and to be led by Him, and to get all the amazing things that He gives you in His will and His name is so much better than holding on to a ratty old boat that we have on the earth. I encourage you, step out in faith. Because if we're not clinging to the Lord, then we're sinking. Father, help us to always reach our hands out to you and say, Lord, help me. I only want your help.
Started in each of our lives, Lord God, that you will not leave us here, and you love us so much not to leave us here, but you take us further along and deeper into you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we do love you and praise you. Thank you this day. Lord God, I pray for the remainder of the service, Lord Jesus, that the words that are said would be your words, Lord Jesus, and I just pray that each of us can glean from the word that you would have for each of us. In Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, dear Jesus. Amen.
Standing up here, what I'm trying to do here is I'm feeling like the Lord wanted to do something. So in the meantime, I'm trying to pray in the background and ask the Lord what to do next. Sometimes I don't always know was a wonderful prayer that Amy was talking about. You know, it's the Lord's will. We want His will for things, not our own. And sometimes we have to be willing to give up our own agenda, our own wants, our own desires, or even our own plan, what we're going to do. So, Lord, we just ask again that you would just guide this whole service, Lord, that you would anoint your word that's going to go forth, Lord, and even the order of things, that you would organize it all, Lord, that it would be directed by you, it would be from you, Lord God, and that you would speak, Lord God. You personally, Lord, would speak to and through whomever is speaking, Lord God. I just ask that you would truly be in charge of all things, Lord. So please, put it in the order you want. Give us understanding, receiving hearts, Lord God. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord God, that we may understand supernaturally by your Holy Spirit whatever is being said to us, Lord. Guide and direct us, Lord, that your word would be upon our tongue, your thoughts would be in our minds, Lord. We love you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, before we get started, I love when the Lord kind of does these things. You know, I really want to get into a little bit more, but I'm just going to, I don't think the Lord wants me to in too much details, but, you know, sometimes the Lord, you know, puts a word on your heart, you know, and he did that last week. It was so cool. You know, to be honest, I don't even remember, there were a couple of verses in Isaiah. I don't even remember what they were. That's a word from the Lord. It's not like I'm planning on saying some of that stuff before I get up here, or sometimes others as well will speak out a word from the Lord. You know, that's not planned. That's just the Holy Spirit stirring someone's heart to speak out the word of God for someone here, and maybe it's you. And maybe that's all he wants me to say at this moment for that. But I am going to share with you a couple of verses just real quick before we get started. And you can just listen or whatever, you can turn it. But it's from Deuteronomy. I just felt like during the worship time, he was speaking this to me, and then I just opened up kind of one of those things. You open up the Bible, and there it is, the very first page. And so that to me is, okay, Lord, obviously, yes, you do have a pretty big Bible, and to just open it up on the right page. Thank you, Lord. So this is Deuteronomy 32. You know, whenever we gather together as a body, there's a lot of great things we do. We worship the Lord, right? We sing to the Lord. That's amazing. Sometimes we pray. I love how the Holy Spirit is leading Amy to pray. I was thinking, wow, that is so led of you, O Lord. I love the word that was spoken out loud during the worship time. I love the fellowship time afterwards. I mean, I love all these things. They're all wonderful and amazing, but the reason why we gather, you know, is to seek the Lord and to And I think the Lord's, in these times, these dark times, with people going to what their itching ears want to hear, how much more do we need to know what the Word has to say?
Yes.
And so it was in Deuteronomy 32, and also in Deuteronomy 32, there's a couple scriptures that the Lord just popped into my head. So one of them is verse 1 and 2. He says, "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and the words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants." And we need to be like those tender plants that the Lord's raining on, His word. Are you absorbing it? Are you sucking that water in? You know what I mean? So that you can grow by. Just like that new grass, you know what I mean? If you've ever put down sod in your yard or seed, if you don't water that thing, it shrivels up and dies, right? How much more do we need to be watered with the Word of God, right?
You got
to
stomp it down, too.
You got to stomp it down, too? Well, maybe that's... Yeah, you know what?
You got to rake it through.
You know what? Sometimes, honestly,
that's... Go ahead. Roller. Over new sod to keep it down. They put it down and the scorch pushes down the dirt and
yeah, you gotta pack it
the
in.
Roots will,
yeah.
That's right.
You gotta pack it in.
So beat yourself into
submission. That's good words, good words. Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo. Hi, Alicia. Chris is on fire today. Look out. You know what? But all the more, we need to hear what the Word of God has to say. Because people will fill your minds with all sorts of stuff. You know, it's just the way of the world. You know, and the enemy's trying to subtly move you in a different direction. It's not the direction of the Lord. And so he says that not only in Deuteronomy 32:1-2, but he also says in Deuteronomy 32:46. So we need to be receiving that rain, like the rain of his word, waiting for it, expectant, so those roots can go down deep, so we can be smashed into the ground and that water can be sucked up and we can grow thereby, right? Mm-hmm. So we can be like trees planted by springs of living water. But he also says this. He said this to them in verse 46. Take heart. And this, imagine God speaking this to you. Okay, I want you to think about this. You make this personal to you. This is what God is saying to you. Okay, to you. Hear the words of the Lord. He says, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you. That's the first thing. Do you take to heart? Do I take to heart the words that's been spoken to us? Or do we just kind of come in, hear that, oh, that was a good speaker, that was nice, I liked how he said that. Are we really hearing the words of the Lord? Are we taking them to heart? That I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. Not just some of them, all of them. And then it says this, and I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. I've got a lot of them. But this is one of my favorite verses. It says, they are not just idle words for you. They are your life.
Amen.
And that's the difference between the abundant life that Jesus wants you to live and not having the abundant life. See, your abundant life isn't based on your circumstances. The abundant life Jesus has to offer you is by making his words. They are living. They are active. But if you, by taking them to heart, by you obeying them and applying them by your life, to your life by faith, they become your life. And the Lord thereby takes root in your life and grows out that fruit that we all want. It's Jesus in us. And then people see Jesus in us, that fruit, and they want to pick that fruit. And there's seeds in that fruit, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that apple or orange or whatever, and those seeds reproduce fruit. And it all comes from taking his word to heart. Amen?
Yes.
Let's do that. Yes? In each of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, that was the word that the Lord gave me during worship time. And so, I offer this a lot. And if anybody would like the New Testament, and a couple weeks ago I said it was from John through Revelation. It's not. It's Matthew through Revelation. If anybody did not get one of these, we didn't have enough some weeks ago. This is a devotional, 15-minute devotional. If you'll read it, it'll take you through the entire New Testament in a year, and it has some little insights from like Beth Moore, Billy Graham, those type of people. And so if anybody wants one of these, it's a gift in Jesus' name. Okay? Anybody else? Do you want one? Also, just a couple of things I'd like to. The Weaver girls, how many of the Weaver girls are here?
Yep, one, two.
Anne, come on up here.
Oh my gosh.
Is Olivia and So? They're in there? Okay, what do you come up with? We're going to pray for them anyway. As she's coming up here, there's a couple things you know that's going on, or in case you don't, Jeremy Camp and Mandisa are coming Saturday, April 23rd to Victory Church in Lakeland. 7 p.m. Tickets are $25. If you're interested in that, contact with Joy FM. Also, Big Daddy Weave, Friday, May 20th, coming to Woodland Church here in Bradenton. And if you're interested in that, you can contact with Joy FM. But also, there you are, Ken. Come here. Yes. Now, we're just going to take a minute. Come on up here. Don't be afraid. Come on this side. All right. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Weaver girls are in a play at the Manatee Players. Is that right? Okay, all right, good, just circle. And Tuesday, April 26th at 7 p.m., Is that correct? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. The tickets are $10, and she's going to be in a play, and she's going to be, you'll never guess.
Anna.
That's amazing, I'll tell you what. So we just want to take a minute, and we just want to pray over her and the girls as this play goes on. And I don't know much about Anna Green Gables, only that like every Christian girl reads Anna Green Gables. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like Christy, I don't know. But we just want to pray. Are you nervous? Okay. Let's take a minute and pray over her if we can. Father God, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for just our sister, Lord God. And Lord, I know you've given her just your giftings, Lord. And I pray for each one of the Weaver girls, Lord, who are in this play, Lord God, that you would give them your heart, Lord God, that no matter what, Lord, that they would be a witness to other people there, that would be the main thing, more important than the acting or getting the things right, the words just right, or their stage cues just right. You would help them to be a bold witness for you, not ashamed of the gospel, Lord God. Each of those girls, that would be the most important thing, would be to glorify you right where they're at, whether it's with a sound guy or being patient or loving or kind or whatever. It would all be for Jesus. I pray for protection over her and the girls right now in Jesus' name, that you would continue to draw them closer to yourself, Father. I ask that you would bless that play and bless these girls, Lord God, that all would glorify you. And I thank you for her. And I pray a special blessing, Lord, on Anne here, Lord God, that you would just help her in every way possible. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
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 Manatee plays, right? Is that correct? Players?
It's on third.
Oh, it's right next to Second Street?
Manatee Performing Arts Center.
Oh, Performing Arts.
Okay. Down by the river.
Yes.
If I could say something real quick, just the technicality.
Sure.
The play is being done at the building, but it's not for the Manatee Players.
Yeah.
It's for Circle School of the Arts.
Yes.
So that's who's putting it on, and it's a school that our children and some of the other children here at the church attend for the School of the Arts. So that's what the reason is.
Tuesday
is to support them, yes.
I had a question.
No?
Well, I think it's at the door. Do you have to pre-order them?
Do you have tickets?
We've got tickets, yes.
Oh,
so see one of the girls. They can help you.
Okay. Great. Chantelle?
Next Saturday, I'm doing my webinar here about autism. It's at the beginning field in St. Pete.
Okay. And also, if you want to do, yes, Chantelle's doing a walk for autism. If you're interested in that, you can talk with her. Okay. Also, hey, listen, just so I tell everybody this, because I had folks coming, the Lord really, I don't even know how to say this, the Lord did a really amazing work last week. And it was just kind of one of those God things that he did. And so I had a bunch of people, even right afterwards, saying how they want copies of this and they want to have it and hand it out and things like that. As the Lord would have it, none of it copied. So, well, that says two things. Okay, so let's use this as, you know, first, you know what? When the Lord, you know, and I don't know when the Lord anoints something. You know what I mean? And when it's his choice, you know, and so, you know, for us, it should remind us that we don't always know. Maybe we don't have copies of stuff. Maybe we're not always going to be able to get stuff like that. So how much more just to pay attention each week or whenever God speaks, whether it be on the radio or in churches or whatever, when God is teaching in our Bible study, and pay attention, because we don't know if we're going to be able to get that word again. So just take it to heart, right? Just like we read this morning. Hey, that fits perfectly. Take it to heart every time God speaks. Be anticipating God moving and speaking. You know what I mean? And be thankful for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So sorry about that. It just happened. I think we corrected it for this week. Also, don't forget prayer Sunday mornings. Tuesday, we have the men's here also. Is there anything you want to say to that, Gary?
I guess we're going to attack the patio for a little bit first.
Okay.
So we're going to have a combination patio, pizza, and Bible study.
Okay, patio, pizza, and Bible study. Okay, all right, sounds good. Also, the whosoever's are going to be going to see... God's not dead too. So yes. And so this church is going to be blessing those kids so they can be able to go see that movie and be encouraged in their faith. So thank you for this body that's so generous and helps to encourage our kids and the Lord. So we'll get you more information, but we're going to be doing that this Wednesday. And thank you so much for the kids all helping with the patio pavers again last week. You guys did amazing. And also, Diane, this is at your house. I know I saw you somewhere. Kingdom Living at your house. Is that correct this week? Okay.
Dad?
Yes.
Question, will the youth be doing it after the
we'll probably, I don't know yet. Yeah, that I don't know yet. I think not.
Okay.
I think 2 weeks is enough. Okay, I think that's it. We're not going to be in Romans today. Tom, where are you? Come on up here. Come on up here. And so I think we're actually going to be in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and we'll deliver one to you. Elijah, can you grab a few Bibles real quick? Thanks. Need a Bible, raise your hand, and Elijah will bring one to you. Philippians chapter 4. And Josh, do you mind taking 1 minute and praying for Uncle Tom? That's what the youth call.
We're going to leave that one alone.
And thank you for the meatball subs for the youth. All the youth loved them.
It was so yummy.
You're calling me a meatball? Yes. That was my Italian way of doing that. So we just want to pray for you. And
what are you saying?
Lord, we just come before you. I just pray for Tom. Lord, I know when I have to teach, I'm so nervous and really just afraid, Father. I just pray that you would just give Tom the words to speak. Yes. Lord, just the right heart to speak those words, Lord God. We just pray that you'd be with him, Lord, that his thoughts would be just straight, Lord, and there'd be no confusion. Lord, I just thank you for Tom and all that he does in this body, Father. And we just ask that we would that you'd be with him today, Lord, and that you'd give us ears to hear, Father. And, we just give you this day again. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just amazed how no one even knew, neither did I, that I was going to be sharing until, when was it, Thursday? And so, but, you know, God says to be ready in season. Amen? And so, Mark, you shared a scripture verse, and I think it's so applicable to my message today. So, would you remember what that was?
Yes, sir. I know this will be a surprise, but it's from the book of John. Uh-huh. 16:32. Actually, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And I looked up that word world today, and that's not just this earth. That's the entire cosmos, the totality of all creation and all that is in it.
You know, as I was trying to put this message together, because it's more than theological, it's very personal. And so we are going to talk about something that's very dear and near to my heart, but also I think every one of us in some way, shape, or form will struggle with the issue of anxiety or worry, fears, those things that sometimes debilitate our lives in such a way that we can't even breathe, you know? Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
You know, we live in a time when perilous times are coming, and so I think we need to understand that God has a remedy. You know, if I would say to you, do not lie, is that a sin or is it a suggestion? It's a command, right? Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. On and on. So when God says don't do something and we do it, what is it?
It's disobedience.
It's disobedience. So the topic that I want to share on is about anxiety. My mind is full with hundreds and hundreds of verses. And so I want to kind of have a little study. Like, this is a family, you know? And I can think about the first century church. They didn't have pews. They probably sat on the floor and talked to one another. Yeah, there was a leader sharing the word. And I think that's what is helping me to be at peace about that. Because we all have stories and illustrations. I'm going to use Adam. And I'm going to use Gary. And Josh doesn't know it, but he's going to be in on the illustration. I want. And I hope Gary and Josh win over Adam. Adam's a big guy. A very strong guy. But I want to have a couple of verses and help me with the reading, because I do have an eye disability, and you can ask my wife. I'll put in words that are not there. Or I'll look at a word and I go, what is that word? Oh, it's Tom. I get so anxious and I get so concerned, especially when it's God's word. When I was a land surveyor for 45 years, I had no problem teaching God about surveying. I knew it inside and out, backwards, experience after experience of surveying. But when it comes to God's word, I have a fear. It's a good fear. Because I know, like Pastor Darren and I, we talk a lot. We don't want to misrepresent Him. When we share God's word, because we're all going to be accountable. Amen. Whether a pastor or a newborn believer, in misrepresenting Him through His word. So I take it very serious, and that's why I think Paul said, hey, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And some days, I have 2 out of 3. I don't have a sound mind. And I pray that I will have a sound mind today. So let's move on. Somebody, can you turn off the lights there, Elijah, please? Can Talmud help me in reading some verses from Job? And you know, Job's life wasn't a piece of cake, was it? So people are born for trouble as reality, as sparks fly up from a flame. And I was brought to an image when we had the Christmas party. And Adam had that big bonfire. Who was there? It was huge. What was coming up when that first was lit?
Sparks.
Huge flames. Sparks going up. And that's what life is. Troubles all the time. And then we have man who is born of a woman, and every one of us here was, I think, few in days and full of trouble. All the time. And then we have here in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though it something strange as were happening to us or to you. And so trials are here. My last one here is one of my favorite. There is no temptation that which is common to all of us, men and women, children. But God is faithful. And that's what we got to look. In this anxious times that we have, God is faithful. And He will not let us be tempted beyond your ability, our ability. But I love the buts in the Bible. I think I was talking to Neely. And I love those buts in the Bible. You know? But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so, temptation. And the last one is John. Mark, would you read that? I know you probably have the whole book memorized.
John 16:33, the one that we just read.
Mm-hmm.
Get back to it.
What do you have? The ESV?
NASB.
Good translation. It's a word for word.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world.
I have overcome. not us, he has overcome. We are living in the last days, and Jesus said, and it would be the times of Noah. And God said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and intents is only evil what? Sometimes? Continuous. And we see that on and on and on. And even Jesus said, people will be terrified at when they see coming upon the earth. And we see more and more. Much man is going to fail, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. And man, God is starting to shake up this world, isn't he? And we can look what's happening. Russia is threatening the United States.
Yeah.
And of course, we have a government. God, we'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this happened last week on the 14th.
Yeah.
Jets, 30 feet a month, our ships.
Yeah,
the plane too. Really? And so we see, I mean, this is ISIS, and it's all over. They're trying to destroy everything that is prior to Islam, ruin every single record. They're making people upset. We see that millions of people from Syria and Iraq fleeing all over the world. And if you're not sure what Mosul is, that's Mar, or back then it was Nineveh. So right there in our crescent of where all civilization, here Europe is in a state of war. The French Prime Minister. Troubled times. Perilous times. Scary times. And here, this is hits all right here. 7. Probably a lot more. Of our economy collapsing in 2016. And so, I'm going to move on. And so let us turn to Philippians chapter. What is the remedy? What is it that God will have an answer for all of us as we go through this time of perilous time? Uncertainty. And maybe tomorrow in Bradenton we hear of a terrorist attack. And they always target Christian places. And I work at Chick-fil-A. And I'm always looking, observing, being careful of what's going on. I'm uptight sometimes. And I see people coming in with backpacks. Scares the heck out of me. And I'm like, I got Lord, you're in control. You're in control. So please, let us pray. Father, we ask you, as we delve in, there's so much we can talk about. Help me to communicate it clearly, completely, and concisely. But also, may it be Christ-centered. Help us, Lord. And we're a big family here. We're going through tough times. And we got to stand together. And we have to know how you will give us the way of escape when anxiety, fear, worry comes upon our life. So please, Lord, it is a command. It isn't a suggestion. The world says it's a disease or a disorder. But you call it sin. So help us, Lord, to learn so we can go away learning how to appropriate the victory that we can have over this area of anxiety. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please, someone read for me in verse 6 through 9 of Philippians 4. Mark, you're a good reader. Would you mind? I may pick one of you, so please help me in that area, okay?
6 through 9?
Yes, please.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me,
practice these things, the God of peace shall be with you.
You know, I did a little illustration in the youth, and it was Pastor Derek asked me, because it was very impacting. Sometimes we need an illustration of things, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance when we are attacked by something or something of victory to focus on what God has done. And so I did an illustration, and I used the youth, and actually I used two women to overcome about five or six boys. And it was very embarrassing. But it illustrated the point of why God says, do not be anxious. It's a command. Or do not be worried, as we will get into in Matthew chapter 6, starting in 25. He doesn't want it because he knows it will destroy us. And there is a war. There's a battle. It is a tug of war from the spirit and the flesh. And so I'm asking Adam to come up. And I'm asking Gary to come up.
No.
It's a tug of war. I want to give you an illustration of the Greek word for anxiety or worry. And so we're going to give the first Adam. And we're going to give... And so we see here, we're in a battle. It's a fair fight. And that's the illustration. Our flesh is strong. And what is it that will dominate the strength of us is what we feed it the most. Okay, so I want you to start pulling to it to see who's going to win. Pull. Rip it and pull me. Try to pull. And so what's going to happen? As I feed the flesh, it's going to win. Okay, more and more, I'll be, and Adam is going to win. The falling Adam. No offense. You're the last Adam, the redeemed.
Good try, Gary.
Josh, why don't you get on that? And we have to realize sometimes, even strong believers at times allow our flesh. And I know, when you think about David, David was a mighty man of God. But you know, sometimes the flesh is strong, and even a man after God's own heart, what happened? Became insane because he was recognized and he did some stupid things. So here we are, two spiritual men pulling against the flesh, trying to win, to battle. Go ahead. You see what I'm saying? There's a tug of war going on. Very good. My hands are going. Both of them want. Yeah, no. But see, what it is in the Greek, it's a pulling. Well, no, we're not done with you. Not done with you. So, that is the Greek word for the word worry or anxiety. It's a pulling in two different directions. It's a pulling, a stretching, and two different in Greek, basically. But the English word, and this is where it becomes very impactful. Now pull it.
No.
Go ahead, pull it. Pull it.
No.
Oh, no. Hard.
The English word, the old English word, means to strength. It doesn't... Oh, yeah. That's okay. That's okay.
Oh dear. Natalie's just still quite a shabby blood.
Is he bleeding?
That's okay. You know, sometimes our lives, when we are fighting, we're shedding blood. And it happens for a reason. Okay? Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. But the old English word means to strangle. And so when we begin to worry, to be anxious, to be afraid, there's a pulling, but there's also a strangling. And I, I got saved. That's okay. That's okay. It was strangling me. I don't think you'll ever forget this illustration. Neither will I. See, the thing is, that's okay. It has a purpose. And I am encouraged about that. I need two band-aids.
Okay.
So, when you get to a point of war, and thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam. Remember the flesh and the spirit are fighting for control. It's going to be for the rest of our lives. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with this? Yeah, sure. We're a family here.
Well, something occurred to me when you had the loop around your neck. You trusted Adam and I not to strangle
you. I already told Adam.
But that's a great illustration of faith, though. When we have the strangle around our neck in the world, where's our faith?
Yeah.
Where do we put our faith?
Yeah.
So we have to totally remember that this is going to happen every single day. You see, I happen to read, I've been searching out, there's so much. Finally, the world is realizing anxiety is causing depression. So people ask me, is depression a sin? I go, heck no, it is not. And someone turns to, in the New Living, not the New, in the King James Version, New King James Version, in Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety of the heart causes depression. And so, is anxiety sin? Yeah. But is depression is a result or a bad fruit of our stinking thinking? Now, there's an acronym called GIGL. Can anyone think that what that could be in?
Garbage in,
garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
You know, so if we begin to think and believe the counsel and the teaching of the word, they say alcohol is a disorder, disease.
Wrong.
Right. God says it's what?
Sin.
But lying. I mean, they even come up, well, there's some gene that makes us lie. We're predisposed. You know what? We all are predisposed. Because we all have a fallen nature. And Ephesians, I think Ephesians 5:4 says we don't walk in darkness. We are darkness. There's no light in us. Not one bit of light. It's only when Jesus comes in, the light of the world, that we have light. And so, May 3rd, 1986, is when finally the light of Jesus. But I was panic attacks. And I'm telling you, who ever had panic attacks here? It chokes you. You can't even breathe at times. And you don't want to live. You don't want to even go out into society. I remember the first time I tried to commit suicide because of anxiety and fear of people. I was bipolar. I used to be afraid to communicate, to talk to people, because it overwhelmed me. It was choking the living life at me. And that's what it does. And so what did I do? I waited a whole week to get enough energy to go out and buy food. It was tough. It controlled my life. And then when I finally had the personal problems of sin, of adultery, of addiction to antidepressants, I just wanted to end my life. It was, I didn't see any hope. And I just became born again.
Yeah.
I had the light of Jesus in me. But I didn't have my mind, as Romans says, to be renewed and transformed. Mm-hmm. And so what happened? I had to go into a drug rehab. And the two things they said to me, if you want to have victory every day, because it is a disease, is you can't marry Gloria. And I'm putting too much faith in Jesus.
Oh, no.
Hello? Yes. It was a Christian. It was down in Puntwater. I won't go into detail. But you know, I didn't listen to him.
Thank God.
I listened to Jesus. And I married Gloria. And we just had our 28th anniversary. Why? Because I'm not in bondage to a disease. It was a willing choice. And I allowed anxiety and fear to control my life and was strangling the life. Even as a newborn believer, I didn't know. And so one day down at the Peace River in Port Charlotte, as I was wrestling with God, he says, Tom, you just went through a rehab and you're clean of all the drugs, but your life is not trusting me. You got a whole 6 months of drugs in your trunk and you're trusting in that. And so here, God's speaking me through his word. I didn't know much, just a baby believer. But he says, Tom, you have to trust in the Lord, trust in me with all your heart. And stop trying to figure out how to become, live an anxious-free life. But all your ways, acknowledge me. And you what? And so, and God's word says, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a what?
Light unto our path.
So, what's the remedy? Does God give us a remedy in this portion of Scripture? I want to bring three areas that I want to talk about in verses 6 and 7. The first area is right praying. In Philippians. Okay? Right thinking is very important. And we're going to touch on that on Philippians 4:8.
Found some water in the cup.
Oh, thank you. And I get so excited. And in Philippians 4:9, it's to talk about right living. Whew. You pulled the heck out of me, Adam. And so, I think I have some more. But the world is finally catching up to what the Bible says. That what your thoughts affect not only your brain, it all affects your genes, it all affects yourselves. Your thinking affects us. And I won't even get into some other areas, but there's a chemical in us called serotonin and others that affect our thinking. When we think negative, and I'm not into the positive confession, but if we have thoughts like David did, oh, Saul's going to kill me. God already said he was going to be king. And so he did not believe. He got in the flesh. He forgot the promises of God. He didn't appropriate it for his life. And he ran. And I know you guys are talking about the life of David. He did a lot of great things, but he also did some stupid things. Okay? And we are living like a David sometimes. Mighty on God for one day, and then 2 hours later, we're running like Elisha did with the Baal. There was 250, I think, he killed. And then Jezebel, 800.
Yeah.
Says something, where he is. Well, like that. One day, strong. Next day, Goliath is cutting off our head. But science is finally coming up with that our mind, thoughts, neurotransmitters, body-mind connection. So it's no longer something just fantasy, but there is a physiological connection to how we think. And Proverbs 23:7 says, whatever a man thinketh in his heart,
so shall he be.
So shall he be. And that word, whatever, think, means to calculate. How many of you is trying to calculate how to get day by day? We're all trying to figure out this and that. Instead say, Lord, you promised me that you give me a way of escape, whatever it is. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's why the songs were so applicable. We want the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts, guide our actions, because we're going to be hit like Adam, pulling us so hard that we bleed. I hope that's an illustration now. We'll bleed. Sometimes we'll be in situations where we shouldn't be. No, it'll be a lot more than just my fingers cut.
Mr. Tom, can I ask
you? Yes.
You know, we've got people here at all different levels of life. And you know, I want to make sure nobody's thinking is, you know, that scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, therefore he is. We can't, let's say I've got a couple of pounds around my belt. Mm-hmm. So if I just thought I was thin, I'm not in shape right now. So if I just think I'm in shape and think I'm thin, then
no.
I am?
No. Nope.
Or are you saying that we need to be thinking the thoughts, basically what is God saying versus what the world says? What is Jesus saying in his word and trusting in him versus what man says?
Right.
Is that what I'm understanding?
That's correct.
That's why we're to renew our minds.
That's
with the words.
And that's what Psalm 1 is about. The counsel we take. Why don't we turn to Psalm 1? It's not even in my notes. Because we're going to be thinking one way. Our flesh wants to believe the world. I mean, there's a lot of PhD piled high and deep in worldly thinking. You can use that. I don't know where it came from. But there is somebody made a statement. If God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. Somebody want to say Corey Cameron? I haven't found out. But you know, it's a true statement. If God said it,
I believe it.
That settles it. But also I want to add one thing. We better learn to walk it. Just knowing it is not going to give us the victory. Like Pastor Darren was saying, I can't just say the weight is gone. I'm going to have to start walking and exercise and get on a treadmill. Stop eating. Yeah. Gluttony is a sin. It's not genetic.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's amazing. And sometimes that Pastor and I would walk in Thursday after a nice big breakfast and we ate all the toast. But I kept the bacon.
Yeah.
I'm walking. I didn't bring my sneakers on. I brought my flip-flops.
Oh.
And so I'm walking, trying to walk and pray. And what do you think gets on my toes? Little pebbles rocks.
Yes.
And you know, that's life. As we're walking, trying to walk with the Lord, there'll be little pebbles getting in places that discomfort stops as pain happens. And there was a little illustration of what he shared that I should share on Thursday.
Yeah.
And so here I am. There's so much. But pebbles get in our lives and our thinking. And we got to realize who has Psalm 1 there. There's six little verses.
I do.
Go ahead, read that.
My voice is getting better.
That's okay.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked.
Say that again.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked.
Go ahead.
Or stand in the way of sinners. Or sit in the seat of mockers. That his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked; they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over all the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
One verse I like. Here's a victory. And in his law he meditates. Once in a while. What I feel like. Once a week. When I come to church on Sunday. Or I go to Bible study on Thursday. One of the blessed things that when God restored Gloria and I marriage in 2008, one of the primary elements in order for God to restore our marriage from the hurts and the pain that it created was that we started meditating together.
Mm-hmm.
It is a healing, it's a balm of Gilead to any relationship that you have. Is get into the Word. Like Pastor Darren gave out a great devotion. You sit down. God has given great wisdom to both men and women.
Okay.
Read it and let's apply. Let's talk about it together. And sometimes I don't have to go to work until 3 o'clock some days. And we'll be studying for hours and hours just talking and meditating and praying. God, help us in there. Help us to do what needs to be done. Whatever the application is. maybe, as we're reading. It's a great healer. And then we started praying. And so the healing for anxiety and depression is right prayer. And that's why Gary and I and Jen and Gloria and whoever comes, we realize there's a priority. The last, I think, armor that or he gives for spiritual warfare is what? Pray. But there's right praying. And the first one, that word uses three different words. The first prayer is about adoration. You know? And it's about coming to God and worshiping, exalting His name. Mm-hmm. Do you have a scripture verse of exalting God when you first come? You notice it's first. Exalting Him, admiring, praising His name for what He has done in our life. Is there a song? I remember Bible college when I took the book of Psalms. Our professor said every emotional act that we go through is in the book of Psalms. Learn the Psalms. Sometimes they're penitential Psalms where we have sinned and God gives us a remedy. Psalm 51, Psalm 32 about David. And then he goes, create in me a clean heart after the sin of murder and adultery. And so there's sometimes penitential song. Lord, I was anxious over you. I didn't come to you. I didn't worship you in prayer. Thank you, you saved me. You give me a way of escape. Lord, you give me precious promises. You created the heaven. I look at the stars and see how big and huge God is. So we see the first avenue of having victory is in prayer, worshiping, exalting Him, praising Him for what He's done, for what He's done. I think it's Psalm 19. One of my favorite songs, there's actually a song in the last portion that I used to sing. Would someone read Psalm 19 for me? Psalm 19. Where's Miss Neely?
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Where's our strength going to be? In the Lord, His Word, and His Spirit. That's one of the things I love about the Holy Spirit. You know, I think about recording. And did the first century church have sound equipment?
No.
Did they have the Bible to carry around like we do?
No.
What did they have? That could change. Actually, Paul says In the first century, the whole gospel was shared to the whole known world. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have buses. All they had was these things and a donkey, maybe a car. And as the gospel spread to each one, the Holy Spirit actually said, don't worry about to Peter when you go before the kings, the judges, the rulers. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need, what to say. And so when we have times that we are overcome by fear or anxiety or the word, who are we dependent if we don't have our Bible with us? The Holy Spirit. That means we also have to get it in. We say, Lord, you are so great. And then the second part is supplication. Now, what's supplication? Letting our requests known to God. Tell him. You know, what is it, the Lord's Prayer? When he said, teach us how to pray. He said, our Father, who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be. He's exalting him. God, on earth as it is in heaven. And then, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I need things. Lord, I got this issue in my life. Help me. Someone turn to, for me, and read. Neely, would you turn to Colossians 3, 15 through 17? And actually, sorry, wrong one. Hold that thought for later, okay? Someone read Hebrews 5, 7 through 8. Pass it down. Would you go there?
Yes, sir.
You got the NIV?
Hebrews 5, 7 to 8?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hebrews chapter 5, 7 to 8 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Nine as well?
Yeah.
And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him.
So even Jesus in the garden was pleading, Lord, if there's any other way, please do it. When you talk about someone being tense and nervous, where was his disciples?
Sleeping.
Wow. Kind of like us. If we were there, you think we would be awake? Sometimes we are overcome by fatigue and the cares of this world, knowing that someone's going to betray. He talked to them over and over again. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to the cross. Did not understand. And sometimes we can be talking to God, and sometimes we forget what he said. But even Jesus struggled. But yet he said, Father, your will be done, not mine. And he submitted. But it's through these trials and tribulations that we go through that God begins to perfect what he started in us. And so, in through these here, we can see that God will give us victory. As we say, Lord, we worship you. We give you thanks. Father, I have such great need. I need a job. I need this. But we go to him and ask him, Lord, you know what's best. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go and start knocking on doors, filling out resumes, going online. But Lord, you're going to pick the job for me. And I'm going to be thankful for it. And so here, this next part is what? Thankfulness. Hello? Are you thankful for the trial you're going through? Are you? Great. And so, when, you know, our Father says, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me what I need. Didn't even come to pass yet. In our prayers, we're already thanking God that he is going to be faithful to it. He's not going to allow us what is it? In Matthew said, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And it's all about the Holy Spirit. If we being bad give good gifts to our Father, our kids, how about our Father giving us the Holy Spirit? Not only to be saved, but also have the power to live a life. Because we pray with right prayers of adoration, of worship, of bringing our needs to Him. Not to the world, not to His counsel, but seek God's word for His counsel. And then thanking Him. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide exceedingly, abundantly, what? More than we can ask or even hope. Okay, the second part is right thinking. Someone go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. That's thinking, thinking. How do we think? It's going to change our chemistry. Even though I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and delivered from anxiety, I had to learn how to think over differently. I had to have my mind renewed and transformed and stop thinking. The world says this, but what does God say? So I had to start thinking correctly. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 5, 3 through 5. 10:3-5.
Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Read that again. The whole thing again.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
And be ready to punish all disobedience when you obey in fullness. Question. When trials come, especially when you get older, there's a few of us that are seniors here.
Yeah.
Our bodies give out. Pain begins to become chronic as some people. What do we think of? Where does our mind go to? And we got to constantly be able to think that, Lord, yeah, I got that big C. So, you know, Gloria and I were talking about that God may bring cancer to my life. We talked about that yesterday. So for everything that God allows to happen, there's an eternal purpose. Our being here is not alone to enjoy life, to have all the good stuff. And God gives us all things to enjoy and blesses us abundantly. And we are grateful. But sometimes illness comes. We lose a child. I was PTSD. The horrors, they are still there. And we watched the show the other day, or a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden those thoughts came rushing back into me. And I go, whoa, I thought they were gone. No, they're in there. Those memories, those thoughts are still. Whether we've been abused, raped, neglected, abandoned, they're still there. But we got to take captive, squeeze them out. And we got to put on, have the mind of Christ in whatever is going on in our life. So we got to take captive our thoughts. Because where is the war that the enemy has access to? our minds. What do we have? One of the weapons that we have? That shield. To apply what? Fiery darts that are coming. Gary, you look better than me. You're smarter. You can communicate so much better. Bringing thoughts. You know, Pastor Darren and I were talking and something came up that he brought to my attention. And in the context of Philippians 4, there was two women in the church. They had some issues. There was a lack of unity. Syntyche and Syntyche, I think her name is. And Paul was asking and pleading to intercede on this problem that was bringing disunity in his house, but also possibly in the whole church of Philippi. You know, and there was a little thing that happened between one of the ladies and I. Her name was Connie. And Pastor Darren brought it to my attention, and I dropped the ball on something. And here's the enemy in our mind trying to bring division, enmity in this body between. He's whispering. And it was my fault. It was my fault. And I had to go to my sister. And she had, because we both have the same heart, but we get busy with life as we were talking and forget things. But she had such a sweet spirit. Said, well, it's not God's timetable. And that may be true because God knew I would drop the ball. But I sinned against her. There was no unity. And that's what happened a lot. And so all these illustrations of disunity is in the context of Paul saying, do not be anxious. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. And then I guess say, rejoice. And then it says, let the what? Gentleness? Have us to be gentle. And he says, the Lord is near. Do we sense that the Lord is near in times of trouble, in times of anxiety? The psalmist says he is an ever-present help in times of what?
Trouble.
Is he here? Do you sense his presence when you're going through a job? Well, maybe you're losing a job. We have children. None of them know the Lord. It breaks our heart. And we plead with God, please save our kids. Because we know you are coming soon. And we're going to be raptured and taken out. And then they're going to have to face the beast, the lie that's going to be given. Lord. But I have confidence in God's word. Because he says, as many as the sands are in the sea, what's going to happen? People will be saved. So I think the greatest revival ever is going to be during that great tribulation. But they will have to be headed. They have to stand for their faith or take the mark. But I have confidence in God's word. Because I know he is near, maybe theologically or end time, but he is near right now, right in this place. Because when he is near, when we sense his presence, in his presence, then once in a while we have joy. Now, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And so, right thinking is very important. We have to change. Stop thinking about the world. And start thinking God's way. You know what? It will change your body chemistry. It will get right with him and everything. Yeah, it gets low. I think it was 1999. The inventors or the chemist of Prozac said, realized that chemistry was low. It was low. And we have to take it. But they realized, even back then, there's something causing it. And they come to realize our thinking is affecting us physiologically, emotionally, even cellularly. And we pass that on to family. We give the Adam gene. The fallen one. But then we have to be born again to get the last down and start thinking now properly. So we have to think, but we also have to right live. That last portion of the verse from 9, these things which you've learned, which you receive and hear and saw in me, these do. and the peace of God will be with you. Who wants peace here? The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ. I only touched on a little. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
When you're done, I believe.
No, no, go ahead.
Okay. This is serious here. Please listen to me carefully. I believe the Lord wants me to share this. One thing is kind of funny, but the second part isn't. I had a pastor for a long time who had a thing he would say. I don't know what you've been thinking, but you got to get rid of that stinking thinking. If you keep on thinking what you always thought, you'll keep on getting what you always got. Now, this is the serious part. When Amy was singing, I was in tears, and I didn't know why. The Lord showed me that there was a special anointing for something here today. And before you got up there, I had no idea what you were going to talk about. He told me it was suicide. And then when you talked about, you tried to commit suicide, whatever, I believe the Lord showed me that there's someone in this building that's been, the enemy's been bombarding with thoughts of suicide. The anointing is here to break that yoke right now. If you don't want to, show yourself who you are, it's not about embarrassing anybody, but I strongly believe there's at least one person here that's been going through that recently. And the anointing of God is here to break that right now.
Thank you.
If you'll go up and have Tom pray for you and Darren or so after the service is over, if you're too embarrassed, I understand that. But please, if it's you, if I'm telling the truth, I have to do this. I'd rather err on the side of caution than to not do anything.
Wow.
Because I had no idea what Tom was going to speak about today whatsoever. I promise you. It's got to be God, okay? That's all I have to say. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
So God expects us to begin to our lives to be changed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's moments that I be overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. That happens. Life. We're human. We struggle. But the first thing I do is exalt God. And I start praising. And that's why one of the reasons why God allowed me to learn the guitar, not for singing here, for me. I want to praise Him and worship Him. And then I can come and bring my needs. Worship Him. First thing, exalt His name. Look, go out in the heaven, look at the stars. How big, there's a book by Ed Bulkley. It's called, How Big Is Your God?
Mm-hmm.
How big is your God? Is He this big? Or is He, has the whole, all the universes in the palm of your hand? Is here. That's how big my God is. So if I get cancer, maybe God wants me to see a doctor and share His goodness and His love and His forgiveness. I can boldly speak even more. But I know where I'm going. I'm at peace with that. Thankfulness. There's a story in Luke 17. I know Mark probably knows it, and Gary. There was 10 lepers. 10 lepers. God healed every single leper. Didn't He? How many came back?
One.
He thanked. And He was what? Made whole. We need wholeness in our lives. We need wholeness. No matter what you've gone through, you're seeing your children on drugs, on pornography, marriages being destroyed. God wants to make us whole. To be able to be used. Hey, I know. My dad beat me when I was a boy. But also, I was able to believe in the Lord when He was dying. And have 2 years with Him. God causes all things to work together. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what struggle, 3 times I tried to commit suicide. here today. So, twice as a believer, because I was so overwhelmed with bad choices, sinful choices. I'm going to leave. There's a song. You may be struggling. I think I have it on here. So listen to it. George?
Should be ready when you are.
Go ahead. Think about the words and the song. Is it there?
Screen's still blank.
There's a thing on the bottom. Did you bring it over? I'm sorry. Nope. Go back. It should be in there.
Never show anything.
Okay. It wasn't meant to be. I want to bring this last verse. See, I want all of us to read it. This is Jesus' words. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about
what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and a body more than clothing?
I remember George. Didn't know what he was going to eat. Didn't have no money. Was God faithful, George?
Absolutely.
Exceedingly abundantly?
Absolutely.
More than you can ask or even
hope for. Even more than that.
He didn't worry. What did he do? He came and asked for prayer. And God worked it out. Right among us. I'm sure I can open the floor and there'll be testimony after testimony of trusting God and not worrying. Did he worry a moment? Yeah. But he brought the remedy. And look, he's a man of peace serving the Lord. Faithfully. God's called him to another ministry for encouragers.
He really taught me what the meaning of patience was.
Amen. He uses that. Verse 26. Look at the word. He said, God says, look at what I've created. Look at the animal kingdom. The birds of the air. Okay, read it.
For they never eat from them nor reap nor gather in the barns. Yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?
You think your Father will provide what you need? I remember Adam at one time didn't have much work. And God provided. Still, maybe low times, but we still bow our knee at the cross, realizing our Father will feed us too.
Yeah.
Next verse.
Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to their stature?
Who has grown because of all their worry? Actually, anxiety?
Yeah.
Now. Isn't that what the weight of worrying and anxiety brings us down? Can't grow. We actually shrink. But sometimes maybe God brings us to a knees when we're that low. So we cry out to him. 28.
Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is growing into heaven.
When Jesus told they were in the boat going to the other side, and I believe Satan was bringing up a storm because there was a demoniac that Jesus wanted to set free. Did he subdue the waves first? No, he said, "Oh ye of little faith." And then he did. Jesus has the power to subdue whatever storm we may be in. And it was coming in the boat in other areas. But Jesus was laying back at peace. You know he was in the Father's hand. Are you in the Father's hand? 31. Therefore,
do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all
these things, just try to speak. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things.
And prior to this, here's one more verse, and then I'll leave with this.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
What things?
All things.
There's the key to, are we seeking God's kingdom?
First.
Are we first? It's not saying, when you feel like. Put it in your ingredients during the day. Somewhere. Do it at night. That's fine, as long as you do it sometime. No. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. And you know, it's interesting. It came across my mind. Prior to this here, God says, you can't serve two masters. Interesting. Can't serve God or mammon or the world, with the things of the world. And then he goes into, therefore, one God is going to control you in our thinking. The God of this world, the material world, the material possessions, the prestige, the prominence, the power, or a lonely servant. We're going to be a slave to somebody. I'd rather it be Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Father, I just pray. The few words that I may have shared, I pray that it will impact somebody's life. And Father, whatever it is that we may struggle with, it's real. We don't hide it. We don't say, it's not there, like the neighboring claimant. It's real. But Father, we humble ourselves before your throne and say, Father, I'm going to seek you first with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Help my brothers and sisters. Help us. As the world gets wicked and wicked, hard times come, we are told we can't talk about Jesus. Whom are we going to serve? Going to serve you, Father, even if it means our head being cut off. Our brothers and sisters all over the world are doing that, and they will not deny him. Help us to stand strong in these days. Troubled times, all of our days, it's part of life. Thank God you have overcome this with us. And all God's children said,
Amen.
That's good word. Before we go, I want to do just two quick thank you things. Before we get out of here, I just want to share one quick verse with you. And then as George puts on whatever the worship music afterwards, as we just dismiss or whatever. A lot of times folks will come up and immediately want to talk about stuff. But I'm going to ask a few people. Tom, actually, I'm going to ask if you stay up here for a minute. I know you probably want to run back in the back, but I'm going to ask you to stay here. Persevere through it. And Gary, I'm going to ask you as well. But if anybody else feels led to come on up and either pray for folks or to be prayed for maybe anxiety or maybe worry or maybe depression or maybe suicide or maybe whatever, you know what? Don't worry about who cares what other people think.
Amen.
You, Father Lord, I believe that was from the Lord. And so, and regardless, we're going to pray for you no matter what. But we just want to invite you to come up here afterwards and to get prayed for. And so, regardless of whatever you're struggling with, we want to pray. We do want to be a family. And so, but the word is from Romans 12:2. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
The world is trying to conform you. God wants to transform you.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Now I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just think that was just such a good word, Lord. I want to say thank you even for that illustration, Lord, and just of them pulling with the blood as the flesh and the spirit war against each other. Any of us, maybe we haven't even, fought as hard as we could to the point of shedding blood, Lord. But I pray that we would, Lord, that we would fight that flesh, Lord, and we would give fullness to your Holy Spirit and to his leading.
that we would give more attention to your word, to seek you, to meditate on you day and night, Lord, that your word would be more than just a story we know, but it would be not just idle words doing nothing, but they would be driving our life, and that you would bring glory to yourself, Lord, through our obedience to your word. Hide your word in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Let us increase in not only what we know, but who we know as we read it. We love you, Lord. We pray for a blessing upon your people today, Lord God. Every one of them, Lord God. Every one of us together in a family, Lord God. And I pray if there's anyone who needs prayer, even if it's a little something or a big something, they would feel the freedom and even an unction of your Holy Spirit to come up and to be prayed for. We love you, Lord, and we pray your blessing on this group. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Can I just share one portion of scripture before you go? You know, God delivered the nation of Israel from Egypt. And we see the 10 plagues. And he delivered this, probably a couple million, and brought them to Mount Sinai. And on their journey, they complained. And they spent a year or so at Mount Sinai, getting the law, getting the word. And then God moved them out to go to the promised land. And they rebelled again. Again. All the miracles that we see. God had said, I will fight the battles that are before you. And so they send 12 spies in there. And the land was flowing with milk and honey, wasn't it? And they even carried it. They had to carry it on. Two men had to carry it. Big fruit. Very fruitful. But 10 gave bad report. What were they looking at? The giants. What was Caleb and Joshua looking at? The fruit. And as Mark said, that's Jesus. Are we looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? And as of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. So, do we want to walk in the wilderness for 40 years? Each one dying off. Or do we want to be a Caleb and a Joshua? You're the only two who went into the promised land.
Yeah.
Not even Moses. He misrepresented God. He tapped the rock twice instead of just speaking it. That's all I have to say. Sorry. Thank you, God.